And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and rock god Rick Mexa on Double X 1090.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup. Double X 1090. Pete Gray here with rock god Rick Mexa. We're in the Double X studios with Mr. Bill Varney, surf fishing expert. Talking. I mean, the lines have been jammed.
Yeah, the whole
surf
the whole
fishing
show.
Is hot.
It is.
And like Bill was saying, you can do it year round. That's the coolest thing about it.
Everyone
you can go down to the beach today.
Today.
Today and catch.
Wait a minute. What time is it?
Yeah. What time is the tide? Yeah.
Great tide today.
Yeah.
Everyone can participate. You know, young and old. You can take your kids down there very easily. Go down with a couple buddies. It's cool. It's free. I mean, it's just a cool deal.
It's wonderful to take your wife or girlfriend, your spouse down there, spend a couple hours. They can read and you fish.
Yeah. Toes in the sand.
I like
Toes
it.
Toes in the sand.
Yeah.
That's right.
I like it. Well, as you can hear, we're having a great show today. We're having a lot of fun too, talking all kinds of great fishing information, talking about the surf, talking about Bill's great book, and we want to have you join us. It's been a very busy morning, as Pete said. Absolutely. Every phone line is packed right now, but I'm going to give you the numbers. As soon as you hear somebody drop off, get through. That'll be your shot. Local line, area code 858-457-1090 or toll free at 877-792-1090. Both your opportunities to get through, and not only going to get a chance to talk to Bill, but you're going to have a chance to win that great prize at the end of the show today. Again, a complete AFTCO clothing package, including the brand new AFTCO Performance shorts.
You get the best.
Super
Don't
comfort.
Wear anything else.
Yeah. The AFTCO Performance shirt, which is really nice, like we were talking to Jeff down in the tropics there. Very lightweight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you stay cooler in the sun and you stay warmer in the shade. Very nice shirts. And then that AFTCO fish feet for your boots. Again, about the best boot inserts. AFTCO is one of those guys, they don't make a ton of clothes, but everything they make is so right
High
for what
quality.
We do. You know
what
I mean?
That's like $150 clothing package.
Oh, yeah. Every bit of that. Yeah. Those shorts are like, you know, they're 50, 60 bucks.
Yeah.
They're, like you said, they're the best.
They're the best.
They are.
They really laugh.
Yep. It's just everything those guys make is super high quality. Oh, yeah. And then with that, you're going to get also Bill's great new book, the second edition version of it, the Fishing the Surf,
Fishing
the Light
Surf.
Line Revolution.
Yeah.
It's very cool for one lucky caller. Again, 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. That is going to be your chance to get through. And we're going to grab a call, this time talking to Craig, who's calling us from Vista this morning. Good morning, Craig. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. I got a two-part question about surf fishing in the Colonnette area for Bill.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I've fished down there for the last 20 years. Got a little place. Seen thousands of perch caught. Hundreds of halibut caught. I've never seen a corbina caught down there, and I've only picked up maybe 5 soft-shell sand crabs in all that time. Why is that?
You know, that's a good question. Just north of there in San Quintín is some of the best corbina fishing around, really in the California southern or Baja California coast there, maybe because there's a preponderance of clams up in that area. Down toward you in Colonnette, there are some spot fin certainly down there. There are some occasional corbina definitely back and forth down there. We had found in the past, we fished down there a lot, maybe 20 years ago, and one of our favorite baits down there was using snails.
Wait,
like
what?
Land snails?
Like out of your garden snails.
No really? Way.
We'd collect a big box of snails out of the backyard to put them in a shoebox and take them down there with us. We'd crack them open slightly and put them on the hook, and that's what we would use for bait.
No way. Really?
Well, now there's cold water in that zone.
Yes.
Yeah, so that might have something to do with sand crabs and the corbina, right?
Exactly. That probably has a lot to do with the sand crabs. Normally in the Southern California area, you know, they'll occur around 60 degrees or so. They'll go into hibernation when it's colder than that. And down there, you're right, it can have, it has that humble
that
current
upwelling.
That comes in
that cold water.
And the upwelling from the deep to shallow water.
Sure. That might be it.
Second part to that question, though, each summer we have massive grunion runs down there. What should I do differently than using sand crabs, grubs, lucky craft, and crocodiles when the grunion are running.
Well, there's no better time to fish for halibut than when the grunion are running, really up to maybe a couple of weeks after they've run. And just like with the baits we talked about up here having common colors, like a burnt orange or a brown or an olive, you want to match whatever baits you're using to the bait that is naturally occurring in that area. So if you have the grunion coming in, if you can get a Rapala or a Lucky Craft, or even any type of spoon, like a crocodile, that emulates those same colors, that's what you want to use.
I have a buddy that is very, very serious into his surf fishing, and that's his thing, is grunion and halibut. And he goes and collects his grunion and puts five at a time in a vacuum-packed bag, all laid perfectly straight, and vacuum-packs them and puts them in the freezer, and is hugely into that. Exactly. Grunion is his game, and he's got his stacks of five in the freezer all the time and absolutely swears by, you know, frozen and thawed grunion, and that's what he fishes and catches all of his halibut in the surf with.
Yeah. There you go. All right, some good tips there for you, Craig. Enjoy your place down at Colonnade. I'm sure you do. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Dwayne Patnoop, San Diego Anglers, talking the Bay Bass Tournament. It's kind of getting that time of the year.
Yeah, it is.
Dwayne?
Yes, it is. The 18th annual, you know. In a few more years, I've been doing this tournament about half my life here, it seems like.
Yeah, no, 18th annual.
That's crazy, Dwayne.
18th annual, yes. Anyway, it's set for Saturday, January 26th at Shelter Island Launch Ramp. And for your new listeners, what we do is we host 150 two-man teams to go fishing in the morning, and at the end of the day, we give the winner $1,500, and if they get in the jackpot, it jumps it up to, I think Dennis and Eddie got about $4,000 last year winning the tournament there, so it's not bad for a morning of fishing for sand bass in San Diego Bay.
Yeah, well, okay, so how does one get in, and are there still spots available?
Oh, there's still some spots available. Yes, if you'd like to get into it, the easiest way is go to our website, sandiegoanglers.com, all one word. Go to the tournament page, and you can download the entry form from there. If you don't have a computer, then you can go to any of the local San Diego tackle shops. We have put all the entry forms in the tackle shops there. And if for some reason you're out of town, you can't do any of that stuff, you can just give me a call on my cell phone, 619-972-1503, and I'll fold one up, put some tape on it, put a stamp on it, and put your name on it, and put it in the mail for you.
There you go. How was El Salto?
Well, we just rolled in about 3 o'clock in the morning here. It was outstanding. The numbers were down a little bit, but the fish were all really nice ones. I don't know how many 5 to 7 pounders that we caught. It was just, and it was lots of top water all day long. They had a very unusual, rainstorm down there, so it kept the cloud cover going, and
that really
helps the top water, fishing. I think, Billy Stevens, remember Billy Stevens?
Of course.
On the Osprey?
Yeah.
Yeah, he come on down, rookie, his first time down there. I think he was big fish with 11 pounds.
Whoa, yeah.
How about Dart? Did you let Dart catch any big ones?
Yeah, he was using his popper all day long. Everybody got an 8-pounder, it seems like. I was looking at the board there. They have a little board. If you get a big fish, you put it on the board up there, and there was just tons of 8, 9, 10-pounders there.
Wow.
That's so cool, Dwayne.
How about Booger? Did he get any good ones?
Ryan, I think Ryan got, I think he got a 9-1. I think he got a 9-pounder there. But like
nice.
I said, everybody had stories at every meal of all these massive explosions and these giant bass they were catching. It was hard to keep it straight. There was so many big fish.
That's so cool.
On this particular trip here.
Fun. Well,
Dwayne, I will say one thing regarding that San Diego Anglers Bay Bass Tournament. For everybody that has thought about fishing, that is the most well-run and fun, laid-back, cool atmosphere tournament. You know, getting lucky enough to fish, you know, a lot of tournaments around town. You guys do such an awesome job, and the raffle and the food, and I just look forward to participating every year, and you guys just do the most awesome job, and I couldn't more highly encourage anybody that wants to go try it to do it. It's the same thing. I mean, absolutely everybody's on an open, fun playing field, and, you know, small boat and a couple of buddies. It's just an awesome event.
And even if you can't participate, it's a two-part deal. It's a fishing tournament in the morning, and it's a party in the afternoon. Come on down, enjoy the day. We have about 25 sponsors that come down and set up a table, show their new stuff, and then there's a barbecue and beer.
Yeah, and win some incredible prizes and watch Pete and Rick lose their voices.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll try and shorten that raffle up for you 1 year. How's that?
All right,
no way,
you're on.
Man.
Yeah, nice package. All right, Dwayne. from the San Diego Anglers, sandiegoanglers.com. Sign up. Get into the tournament. End of January.
Thanks, welcome back.
Thanks for the call.
See you, Dwayne.
All right.
Well, the phone lines are super packed solid. We're going to jump back into them. This time, we're going to talk to Dick, who's got us from San Diego this morning. Good morning, Dick. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys, and, of course, happy holidays. Bill, I have a question for you with regard to what you would take to fish Rancho Leonero from the surf, and how you would interested in rods, light and heavy, lures, and then most importantly, what you would do to navigate through getting the stuff down there and back.
Wow, that's a lot of questions. That's all of those are good questions, because I think I've covered all those things in the last week. I was just back from being down there. The first question would be, what rod and reel would I use? You know, down there, I would normally use a steelhead rod, which is rated normally maybe 4 to 16 pound, maybe 4 to 20 pound even, 8 and a half feet, two-piece. I'll use about a 4,000 series spinning reel, so a Shimano, Sahara, Sedona, any one of those reels. I'll load that up with 12-pound test. I might go up to 15 if I feel that I need a little heavier line, but I normally fish down there with 12-pound. And then I love to fish things like the Rapala, the Lucky Craft, and without question, one of the biggest lures down there forever has been the crocodile.
Really, yeah.
They work really well.
How big of a crocodile?
I like to fish 3/4 to 1 ounce.
Okay.
And we found that without question, the one crocodile, which I think is called, it might be called the Burning Red. Don't really remember the name of it. It has a bright red outline on one side.
Just
and
one,
that
like big stripe.
Exactly, a big stripe that goes around it. And that works really well along with the mackerel pattern and just the chrome itself.
All right. Now, what about transport?
Transporting is always a lot of fun. I have taken my reels on the plane and haven't had much of a problem like that. I always separated those and then put the rods in a rod case and taken them down. I would think also if you call down there, it's a very good chance that they have equipment there for you too. If you didn't want to take a rod, you could just take your reel if you felt like it and you'll be fine. But always fill your reel with brand new line and bring some along with you. There's been numerous times where we've been fishing for rooster fish down there and hooked one up, and all I could hear as the sun was going down was the clicker going off or the drag going off, and then a very loud snap at the end.
Yeah, and so then you have to refill your reel.
That's right. All your line's gone.
I'll tell you, Pete got me hooked on a travel rod that G. Loomis makes called the Escape Series.
Fantastic rod.
And I bought one also. It's a three-piece rod. It breaks down small enough, three or even four-piece, I forget. I think it's
three-piece, yeah.
But it's small enough that you can fit it in your duffel bag. You know, I mean,
I carry them on the plane.
Yeah, it comes with a very nice hard case. You can throw it up in the overhead, and it's a perfect rod for that. Either spinning or conventional, you know, they're like 6 to 20 pound type rods,
and not overly expensive.
Not too bad.
They're kind of a middle of the road line for G. Loomis, which is often a high end line.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like buying a $500 or $600 fly rod. I think they're in the 275 range.
You know, just like Loomis, it depends on the quality of material. You know, you can get them exactly like you say, anywhere from that $200-ish range all the way up to super high-end, you know, $500-$600 rods. But you can, you know, that's the beauty of a Loomis rod is you can pick the level you want to participate.
Excellent rod. I've taken that rod all over the place and fantastic. Now, speaking of rods, you have a new line of rods that Seeker's coming out with, right?
I do.
Varnay Signature Series, huh?
Exactly. I've been working with Darren Doheny over at Seeker for a couple of months now on putting together some prototypes. We have hopefully our final prototype coming out in the next few days here. Then we'll take that down to the beach, me and a couple of my employees, so to speak, and we'll do some field testing down there, make sure that fits exactly what we're looking for. And then those should come out to the stores, I think, sometime in late January.
Late January, okay.
We're really excited about those
rods.
Awesome. They're specifically designed for surf fishing in Southern California. There's no other rods on the market like them today, and I think people are going to finally be able to go to a tackle shop and say, you know, I'm looking for a surf fishing rod. What do you have? And instead of trying to match them up with something that might be a trout rod or steelhead rod, they'll have something specifically made for surf fishing.
One piece,
great
idea.
It's going to be a two-piece rod.
Two-piece, so you can travel with it.
You'll be able to travel with it.
Okay.
Spinning, and, conventional?
Spinning.
Okay.
Spinning rod. And we're going to start with an 8-foot rod first, and then we're going to probably add three more rods to the line.
Very nice.
That's awesome.
That's cool. So watch for those coming in January.
That's right, coming out
That's
in January.
Cool,
a store near you.
Dick, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Well, we've got a first-time caller on the line. We always say first-time callers go right to the front of the line. That's the case with Brad, who's calling us from Manhattan Beach this morning. Good morning, Brad. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey.
Good morning, Brad.
How are you doing?
Great.
Doing great, Brad.
Hey, my son and I, my son Dane is 12, and we've been surf fishing quite a bit this year, just, you know, right down where we live. And it's been a lot of fun. We've caught a lot of fish. And but we've seen the Corbina out there, and there's been quite a few we've seen. And we've tried the soft shell crabs, we've tried the mussel, we've tried these little worm grubs. These guys just don't want to hit anything.
Boy, that is a story I've heard a million times over. And I, you know, sometimes I certainly feel the same way myself. They come up and look at me, but there's no way I can get a hook in them. I think they're laughing at us sometimes. They're very smart fish. They're certainly very wary of movement, of shadows that they can see on the beach. They normally school in very small numbers, one or two or maybe three at the most, unless it's around the middle of the winter. And one thing you want to remember about Corbina is probably since the middle of May, they've been gorging themselves on sand crabs. And just like anything else, let's say that you love filet mignon and you had a filet mignon for dinner last night and you had one for breakfast this morning, you probably wouldn't feel like another one. You'd want to move on to something else to eat. And I think at this time of year, I normally find really about the middle of August that they love to move on to ghost shrimp and other baits. So it's good to have maybe a combination of two or three baits with you if you can have them. And then if you find the Corbina, take a very stealth approach. Try to fish with 4-pound test line if you can and a fluorocarbon leader. You want to have a leader that's at least 18 inches long, although you want to always make sure that your bait is on the bottom. So if there's big waves, you'll have a shorter leader. But fish them that way. And then if you're not getting a bite, try to move on and find another group of them.
There you go. Good. And that 2 hours before the high tide, 2 hours after.
2 hours before to 2 hours after, but particularly on those Corbina, I would really suggest go down to your beach, which is where I grew up. I'm very familiar with Hermosa, Manhattan, Redondo. Look at low tide for sand crab beds that have set up on the outside sandbar. Line them up with maybe one of the lifeguard towers or one of the houses, and then come back at that low coming to a high tide and cast your bait right on top of those sand crab beds.
And ghost shrimp, huh?
And ghost shrimp.
What All right.
What hook are you using for ghost shrimp?
I love to use either one or two hooks. I'll use a sprout hook, which is like a bait holder hook. It's a long shank hook. And a number, size number one or number two, that's easy to thread the bait up on, because that's what you have to do with a ghost shrimp is thread it up. And the other is a Gamagatsu drop shot or split shot hook, which is a number, size number one, two, or a four, and those work very well for ghost shrimp also.
That Gamagatsu drop shot hook is like my favorite little thin wire. I love those things. I'm stoked to hear that. I'm like, all right, good. That's my
sharpest
favorite.
Hook ever.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, those are great hooks.
So it's a Gamagatsu drop shot hook.
Yeah, it's a split shot / drop shot.
Okay.
And most people would know it as a bass fishing, freshwater bass fishing hook.
All right, very good. Thanks a lot for the call. Hope that helps you out, Brad.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including a big block of your phone calls. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup right here on Double X 1090.
Fast Lane Kayaks in Mission Bay is proud to announce the latest addition to the Hobie Fishing Kayak line, the all-new, lightweight, more compact Hobie Mirage Pro Angler 12. This is certainly the most versatile fishing kayak ever designed, and you can test one today at Fast Lane Kayaks in Mission Bay. The Hobie Pro Angler 12 is ideal for Southern California fishing, with plenty of rod and tackle storage, comfortable advanced seating, and more. If you're looking for an affordable, durable, lightweight, ultra-stable kayak built for anglers, take a free test ride on the new Hobie Pro Angler 12 at Fast Lane Kayaks at Dana Landing, right across from SeaWorld in Mission Bay. Check fastlanesailing.com.
It's time to talk about Shimano products. And while we're on the subject of rod, let's talk about that new Terramar West Coast casting rod from Shimano. I love those things. That split handle grip. That thing is so comfortable and super lightweight.
I've always been a huge fan of Terramar. When they said they were going to redo Terramar, I got that fear of, like, don't change it. It's perfect. And they nailed it. It's better than it was before. They're lighter. They have those Fuji Alkanite guides. They're very lightweight, very low friction. The split grip made them lighter and a little more comfortable. They're even better balanced than they were before. And they've got that very cool skeleton-style reel seat where your reel is sitting right on the blank. And when your hand is underneath it, your hand is right on the blank, so you feel every little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah. The thing about these rods is, you know, Shimano's in Southern California. These guys are hardcore calico bass guys, and they get guys like Benny and Dave and all the guys, Justin, fishing calico. So they know what's right for calico bass. These rods are right for calico bass. So you want a great calico bass rod, great sand bass, great bass rod for Southern California, check out the new Terramar West Coast Casting Rod at your local Shimano dealer.
For over five decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3800 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com.
A fishing trip to Alaska is an unforgettable experience. Each year, the trip that I just can't wait for is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka. Now in our 11th year with Kingfisher, every time I go, I marvel at how incredible it is. I take my dad, we both feel the same way about our trip to Kingfisher Charters.
It is incredible how owner Seth Boner and his crew takes care of everything. Beyond the great fishing, what I like best is the moment you land, every detail of our Alaskan vacation is set. The large, comfortable rooms with panoramic views, the fantastic food, and the Kingfisher Charter boat fleet is one of Alaska's best.
You can catch all five species of Pacific salmon, including one of the largest runs of king salmon in the world. But my favorite by far, it's the trophy-sized rockfish, huge ling cod, and of course the giant Alaskan halibut. And their on-site fish processors expertly clean and vacuum pack all of your fish. It's all included in the price of your trip. You won't find a better fishing experience or a better value than Kingfisher Charters, proven year after year to be one of Let's Talk Hookup's most popular trips. Check out kingfishercharters.com for web specials and more information, or call 1-800-727-6136.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on XX 1090.
We're going to get to the MarkWishFishDope.com tip of the week, but before we do that, let's talk to Dan in Encinitas. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
I got a couple comments and a couple questions. First of all, you guys are awesome. Love the show.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
There's no better question, like when I'm surf fishing and I'm walking up and down the shore, is, do you ever catch anything out here? And I have to go through the whole, you know, variety of, I mean, really? There's so many fish, you know, for anything from halibut to leopard sharks to perch to, you know, I've caught like, what, four calicos on four casts off Stone Steps in Encinitas.
Wow.
And it's just amazing, you know, it's so much fun. And if nothing else, like Ricky said, get out there and, you know, after work, if you're uncomfortable with conventional gear, bombs away.
Yeah.
Nice way to practice. Question was, first of all, are shovel mouths and halibut in the same zone as far as casting distance? And I live in Encinitas, work in Cardiff, and they've just recently pumped a bunch of sand up onto the beach. Does that affect the fishing?
Well, thanks, guys. Great questions, Dan.
Yeah, those are great questions, Dan. Well, first of all, about the halibut and the shovel-nose guitar fish, they are in the same zone.
Yeah.
The shovel-nose is a much more aggressive fish, much more, 10 times as aggressive as a halibut will ever be. You know, halibut are the type of fish that are very lazy. The best time to fish for them without question is at a peak high tide and a peak low tide when there's very little water movement.
Yeah.
You know, they bury themselves in the sand, and then they also lay on top of rocks. Those are the two things I see the most when I'm diving in the surf. And what they do is they wait for bait to come over the top of them, and then they'll make enough of a movement to come out and eat that bait. They're not going to be up in the current looking for food. They're going to wait for it to come to them. Whereas the shovel no good starfish, it is an opportunist. He's swimming around at all times. He's got fast speed. He doesn't particularly bury himself so much in the sand. And also with the shovel nose, it eats a very wide variety of baits.
And they pull hard too.
They pull really hard,
yeah.
And there's some really big ones.
Yeah.
We've seen some 4 or 5 footers out there.
Oh,
so
my.
Are
they dangerous?
No, they're not dangerous at all. The only thing you'll find on them is they have a very protruding backbone. So when you're grabbing them by the tail to take them out of the water, they're not going to bite you. They don't have a stinger. But those do protrude, and they can hurt if they get knocked against you. But no, they're perfectly safe.
We caught a giant one on a Royal Star trip coming up the line, fishing one of the little Baja Beach spot. You know, we were just
really?
Coming up the line, breaking our ride up, you know, fishing calico bass and yellowtail on a dropper loop. And we caught, it was the biggest one I've ever seen.
Five or six feet?
Dude, Pete, it was huge.
Wow, it's kind of like those skates you catch in Alaska.
Honestly, it was approaching. It was. I had no idea they got anywhere near that large. You know, I think it's probably 50 pounds. It was huge.
Wow.
It's like a magic carpet.
It really
ride.
Was.
Looks like you can just get on top and take off.
Now, what about the beach sand?
That I love that question. That is a great question. And you know, you'll notice when you look at that dredging that the water off of where it's dredged is very turbid or murky, and it's all churned up by whatever it is that they're dredging up. And most of us would think, wow, you know, that's not good for fishing. I'm going to move on. That is the best place in the world to fish. If you can find the dredger within the first 2, 3, 4 weeks of it dredging, you're going to have some fantastic fishing.
Really?
And remember that when that dredge is pulling up sand, and whether that sand is on the beach going out or sand out coming in to the beach, it's digging up all kinds of clams and mussel and worms.
Sure.
And that's all getting dispersed in that water column. And you'll see sometimes hundreds of birds feeding there, and that means the fish are feeding there.
So how close to the dredge and down current, I want to guess?
You want to be down current, so you want to figure out which way the current's going. And I love to fish right on the edge. If I can get to that lower edge where the turbid water meets the clear water, or relatively speaking, I'll cast into the clear water and pull it through the turbid water, or vice versa, cast into that turbid water and pull it out to the clear. They feed
good
right
tips.
On the edge.
Guys got to figure it out,
master,
man.
Hey, thanks
sure.
a lot for the call this morning. Hey, another guy that has it totally mastered is our buddy Mark Wish, fishdope.com report, right, Rick?
That's it. We got Captain Mark Wish standing by this morning with our fishdope.com report, sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the finest fish processing while you wait from your local, your long range, or your private boat trip. It's a fact. No one in San Diego takes better care of your catch than the experts at Fisherman's Processing. They do filet, smoke, jerky, or cans. And you can see them when your trip returns to the San Diego Landings or visit them in Point Loma's Liberty Station or check out fishermansprocessing.com for more details. Let's talk to the man, Mark Wish. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Bill. You know, it's interesting, Bill, you're talking about fishing that off-color water for surf stuff there. That's exactly the way we fish the sea bass on the beaches around the islands and stuff, fishing right on the edge of that dirty water.
Yeah,
and it
cool.
certainly makes a lot of sense. Mark,
sure
is it the same idea that it's churning up the bottom and getting the food up in those areas?
You're giving away all the secrets, buddy.
Uh-oh. I better not make it home. I know you'll find me.
But yesterday we were talking a little bit about nighttime bass fishing, so thought we'd maybe expand on that for our tip of the week section here today. Now, nighttime bass fishing is one of my favorite things to do at this time of year. You do need to bundle up a little bit because it gets a little chilly. But some of our most amazing nights, I mean, it's been freezing cold, crystal clear. You can just see forever, and we just walloped them big calico bass at night. And here's kind of how to do it. You know, you hit some of these spots, especially at this time of year during the daytime, and there's just nothing. You go back during the nighttime when conditions are right, it's a totally different deal. It's game on. So here's some of the things to watch out for. First of all, we're typically fishing a little bit different structure, not so much different structure, but we're focusing on structure of the sharper wedges, edges, and drop-offs and isolated pinnacles. Not so much the kelp beds. It's just easier to fish in the dark when you're not fishing the kelp lines. But 10 to 16 fathoms, you know, I like, you know, 15, 16 fathoms, like that deeper water. We're fishing on the anchor for sure. The key is having a good tank of squid, so you're chopping and chumming with the squid. And one of the easy ways to chum that squid is if you get like a gallon bleach jug and cut the bottom out of it kind of on an angle so you make a scoop, just like they use down in Mexico for bailing out the pongas there. So you chop your squid, put it in the bleach jug, and then you hold on that handle, and you can really fire that stuff out so you can disperse it easily and not make a mess out of the boat in the process there. And we're mostly fishing a leadhead. I prefer a leadhead in the dark as opposed to a slider and a standard hook there, half to three-quarter ounce, maybe an ounce if the current's really rolling there. But generally, I like those lighter ones. And then I start with a chunk, not a whole squid, just a half a squid. It's wintertime. The water's cold. You have to be patient. And a lot of times, the fish will start biting and eating the chunk better than a whole squid. Once they get going, you can get them on the whole squid, there's no problem. But here's some of the real secrets to it. The key is current. You got to have some current. Doesn't have to be a lot, just a little bit. Current's got to be running back into the structure. And then for fishing the island, where we do a lot of this nighttime bass fishing, a lot of times we're fishing the outside edge of the points. You get more definitive current there. And then one of the real secrets is we're fishing the moon overhead or moon underneath period, which is the major salooner periods. And the easy way to find that, you know, those little black tide logs are absolutely fantastic for tidal and current and moon position information. And we got the new 2013 ones in here. So that's something you definitely want to take advantage of, is getting one of those little tide logs and learn how to use it. And then, of course, you got to have my Catalina book so you get all these hot spots. But, and the other tip, too, is fish heavy gear, because fishing these structure spots at night, you're targeting calico bass, but you're also going to hook the occasional big yellowtail, and you're definitely going to hook some big sea bass nowadays. So it's
darn. That's good tip.
That's great info, Mark.
The fish dope tip of the week. And let me give you another fish dope tip of the week. $20 off your membership. Great gift for the angler. A year-round thing. They'll remember you for the whole year if you buy a fishdope.com membership for them. The code to save $20, weather. Weather is the code. So fishdope.com, check it out. And, Mark, we will talk to you next Saturday.
That's going to be some fun stuff, Pete.
Yeah. Saturday, of course, Mark will be in the studio with us. It's our annual Christmas Spectacular once again. Oh, what a bunch of prize packages we're
going
to have. $25 gift certificates to Point Loma Seafoods. We've got two Shimano Torium 14 reels and a matching rod with Shimano hat and our Shimano beanie and a t-shirt. And we'll have a GoPro camera from Dana Landing
so cool.
in Mission Bay.
That's awesome.
Fastlane kayaks, day at Fastlane with Hobie Mirage Dive Kayak Rentals and lunch at Dana Landing. Three-quarter day trips at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. Half-day trips at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. Fisherman's Landing Tackle is going to throw in a nice prize. Seaguar Fluorocarbon Gamakatsu Hooks. And don't forget, we just added in that half off the half-day charter with Captain Benny Florentino.
And the books from our
and
buddy
And, of course,
Bill,
yeah, we're going to have three surf fishing books from Mr. Bill Varney. What we're going to do, like I say, we're going to assemble packages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll have, I don't know, five, six, seven different packages. And, again, your most creative contribution to the show is going to be the winners. And we have our panel of judges here.
Huge
Whatever it be. Huge panel of judges. Yeah. So be ready. Next Saturday, we'll see you in the studio, Mark.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun stuff. We'll see
All
you
right.
guys.
See you, Mark.
Ho, ho, ho. Santa.
Hey, well, the phone lines are packed solid. Let's talk to Randina, who's calling us in Long Beach this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Randina.
You got us there?
Oh, hello.
Hey, good morning.
This is Randina from Long Beach, and my question was, what is the best type of bait to use for halibut in the surf this type of year?
Oh, it's a good question.
That is a good question about halibut fishing. And this is the time of year to halibut fish. I love to fish halibut in fall, winter, and spring. It really seems like they're most active. But I do have to admit, when summer comes, I do have to chase those corbina around.
Yeah.
So maybe they get second fiddle then. You know, over the past few years, the Rapala X-Rap and the Lucky Craft lures have really been excellent lures. I mean, they have caught tons of halibut. But to be honest with you, in the last 3 or 4 days, I've had, I think, 4 halibut pitchers emailed to me, 30-inch halibut.
Ooh,
whoa!
Geez.
All on the crocodile.
On the crocodile?
On the crocodile, the chrome crocodile, which is not a surprise at all. That has been the long standard for many, many years, for as long as I can remember, so 50 years at least.
And you said half, three-quarter ounce, huh?
I love to fish a half or a three-quarter, 1 ounce at the largest, but that would be normal if I was down south, maybe down in the Baja. But up here, I'd fish a three-quarter ounce. I love the mackerel pattern. There's also a blue pattern, the chrome itself, and then this fire red one with the red pattern around it. And then another thing to think about when you're fishing halibut also is Castmasters, a three-quarter ounce silver Castmaster, something that you'd normally find in an eighth ounce and you'd be trout fishing with. It makes a fantastic lure for halibut.
Okay. Really?
Now, are you casting parallel to the beach for halibut? Are you casting out towards the surf? I mean, how would you approach that when you're fishing halibut?
I'm normally casting out towards the surf, and I'm normally fishing in an area where we have an estuary or a harbor entrance where it's dumping depending on the tide, water out into the ocean and creating an eddy current around there, because that's where halibut feed. You know, once again, they're very lazy. They're not going to roam the beach looking for something as much as they're going to just find a specific place where the food's going to go by and they're going to eat it. So I will normally, you know, cast straight out, and then I will retrieve it with a multitude of retrieves. I'll try fast, slow, fast and slow at the same time, a stop, a twitch, a number of different things till I find what they're biting.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that very much. Okay, do you need to have a fishing license to fish on the beach?
You do. The only time you don't need a fishing license in Southern California is a couple days a year when they let you fish for free, and when you're on a man-made structure that surrounds a harbor of some sort. So you can't just go out on a jetty because it's a man-made structure. But if you were to look at Long Beach Harbor and the L.A. Harbor, that is a man-made structure that surrounds a harbor itself, and you can fish on there without a license.
Or a pier.
Or a pier.
Yeah.
Other than that, you can't just picket your rock pile and go out.
So have your license with you when you go on the beach, because if you get stopped and your license is in the car, they might cite you.
That's right. And I think you have a bigger chance of being checked on the beach than almost anywhere else because
– especially in a state park.
Exactly. The state wardens themselves occasionally will check too.
Yeah. I've been checked in the state parks before. It's like, wait a minute, you're not a DFG guy. It's like, well, yeah, but I can check your license.
Many of my closest friends are DFG guys.
Okay.
Those are good friends to have.
Absolutely.
Indeed they are. All right. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, Rick.
John and Mira Mesa, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. John, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, hey, about 20 years ago or so, I bumped into this guy in Mission Beach fishing old school, you know, with the 11-foot rod and the sand spike, but the thing that caught my attention was the reel he was using. He told me it was an Australian reel where the line came in like a conventional reel, but to cast it, you would pivot at 90 degrees and the line would come off like a spinning reel. It was a tall, narrow spool. And the only other time I'd seen a reel like that was about 5 years ago on an albacore trip. Some guy brought one of those out with him. Have you ever seen anyone fishing with those?
I have. Those reels are Alvey reels made in Australia, and they were a little bit more popular in the 60s. You rarely see them. I haven't seen one used here in years. If you went to Australia and New Zealand, you'd see them all over the beach.
Really?
And they are excellent surf fishing reels from the standpoint of they have a huge line capacity. And if you fish in a place where you have the surf breaking way out, you want to make a long cast, or maybe you're shark fishing, it allows you to pivot the spool of the reel and cast like a huge spinning reel. And because it's probably a 12 or 14 inches across your spool, very big spool, you can get a very long distance cast out of those.
Interesting. All right. Very good. Hey, good question. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More phone calls. More with Bill Varnay. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup XX1090.
XEPRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. I have been working with saltwater anglers for over 30 years, and I know what type of gift that special fisherman wants to receive this holiday season. Something cool from Shimano. Shimano has the best lineup of quality fishing gear around, and Fisherman's Landing Tackle has the best selection. How great would it be to receive a new Talica, Trinidad, Tranx, Tiagra, or Corrado reel? It would be awesome for sure. After all, Shimano does make the best fishing reels you can buy. If you plan on giving a fishing gift this season, be sure to ask your fisherman exactly what type of Shimano reel that they want. You will be certain to make someone very happy. If you're a fisherman and would like to receive a Shimano reel, don't be afraid to ask for it. Your family and friends will appreciate knowing exactly what to get you. And be sure to tell them that they can buy all the great Shimano products in our state-of-the-art tackle store at Fisherman's Landing or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. So for the best gift ideas this holiday season, it's Shimano fishing gear at Fisherman's Landing Tackle.
Your hook is one of the most important parts of your fishing tackle, and that is why you should use the hook that sets the standard for quality and innovation. Gamakatsu. As Japan's leading hook manufacturer and growing at an amazing pace, Gamakatsu is responsible for introducing a unique tempering process to give Gamakatsu hooks superior strength and durability. Plus, the conically needle-honed points stay sharp. Gamakatsu offers a hook for every fishing situation, including the finest one-piece ringed hooks, light wire, standard, and heavy-duty live bait hooks, and the popular Nautilus circle hooks. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store and stay connected to that fish of a lifetime.
Imagine yourself on a private island surrounded by crystal clear waters, watching majestic bald eagles and whales from the deck of your room. All this minutes from downtown Sitka, Alaska, and their world-famous sport fishing. This is Dove Island Lodge, one of the most unique private island luxury lodges in southeast Alaska. Dove Island Lodge offers the finest fishing for huge Alaskan halibut, ling cod, rockfish, and all five species of Pacific salmon. Fishing that made Sitka a top destination for saltwater anglers. But Dove Island Lodge goes beyond by offering world-class freshwater fishing to remote watersheds aboard their own float plane. Just a short ride from Dove Island will put you into incredible salmon, trout, and steelhead fishing. After a day on the ocean or river, you'll be pampered in one of Dove Island's luxurious suites or private cabins, all complete with private hot tubs. Dine in style with a five-course gourmet meal prepared by Dove Island's own five-star chefs. All this available for a price you can afford. Visit the Sitka that many just dream about and don't know existed, Dove Island Lodge. For more information, visit DoveIslandLodge.com or call 888-318-FISH.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on Double X 1090. Surf fishing. We're talking with Bill Warnay, The Light Line Revolution. How do we get the book? I'm telling you, listeners, we've had tremendous response today to people want to talk surf fishing. It always amazes. First of all, Bill's a great guest, number one.
Oh, thank you.
But number two, the response we get when we talk about surf fishing always just blows my mind. And people want to know about surf fishing. It's accessible, it's free, it's easy, and you can catch fish.
And it's
year
fun.
Round.
That's right.
And it's really fun. Yeah. How does somebody get your book? It's basically beginning to end, from winding the line on your reel to baiting the hook. The whole thing is right here in Surf Fishing, The Light Line Revolution. How does somebody attain your book?
If somebody wants to pick it up right away, they can go right to my website, fishthesurf.com, fishthesurf.com. You can also find it in a lot of, if not all of, your local tackle shops. If you go into your shop and they don't have it for any reason, just ask them to call me. I'd be happy to send them some books down. And then if you have a Kindle or something and you want to have multiple copies, you can go to Amazon.com. You
really?
Can get it there.
You can download it on
you
Amazon.
You can download it there. And, you know, we're hoping to go to a phone app
with
here.
With the pictures and everything?
With all the pictures in color.
And color?
It's actually better in color.
And
the pictures are in color. In the electronic version.
Okay.
And we're trying to go to a phone app version where we can have all the ways to hook all your different baits on your phone. So you can sit right down on the beach. You're ready to hook on your ghost shrimp. You can just spin it right up and take a look at it, and you're ready to go.
Aren't you high tech?
I'm trying to be.
Yeah. That's cool.
My 17-year-old, 18-year-old son's helping me.
There you go. Well, let's jump in the phones, Rick.
You got it. Well, they're packed up. How about this time we talk to Cliff, who's calling us from Lakewood this morning. Hey, Cliff, long time no talk.
Yeah, how you guys doing this morning?
Doing great.
Hey,
good morning.
Cliff, great.
Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I got one question and I have a tip for you. My question is, when you use a Lucky Craft or one of the other lures, do you use heavier line? Because I imagine 6 pounds, you might lose it.
You know, you do want to use heavier line. I do sometimes. A lot of times I'll fish it with 6 pound, but only on a beach where I know it's pretty much exclusively sand. But anywhere around where I'm going to have structure, I'll normally fish it with 8 pound. Now, considering that lure is about $20 a lure,
right.
That's probably why I use the 8 pound, unless I'm planning on going swimming that day.
Yeah, my tip is, when you're out there surfing and it's from high to a low, that sand's really smooth. So, like if Pete was fishing Tuesday out there, he would be writing in the sand, "Happy Birthday, Lolly." Or you can write a note to your wife in there in the sand, take a picture, put it on Facebook, and let me tell you, it goes a long way.
Cliff, you're amazing.
You've got dates.
That is a good tip.
Like anybody I don't
it
know.
It is. Yeah, it is my wife, Lolly's birthday on Tuesday. Oh. Happy birthday, dear.
Happy birthday, Lolly.
All right.
Good
thanks
call,
a lot
Cliff.
For the call, Cliff.
How does he do that?
I don't know. Okay. He's amazing.
See you, Cliff. All right. How about next up we talk to Jeff, who's calling us from out in Congress, Arizona this morning. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for holding in there with us.
Good morning, guys. I have a statement and also a question for Bill. About 15 years ago down below Rosarito, this guy come out of a taxi cab with just a backpack and got his green crabs. And when he left, he had 5 fish all over a foot long that he had cleaned up. And went back in a taxi back to downtown Tijuana. I've had terrible luck trying to catch those little crabs and never had the patience to deal with them after that. But what do you do, Bill, if you fish much there in the rocks, or is it mostly the sandy areas?
Well, you know, there I love to fish the edge of where the rock and the sand meets. You know, that's where you're always going to find fish, that some that live in the rocks, some that are in the sand, and they feed in those areas because fish who are living in the sand are going over to the rocks to feed on things like mussel and crabs and so forth that live there. But the truth of it is the really big surfish, if you really want the big ones, they live in the rocks themselves. They squeeze themselves really? In between those rocks right underneath your feet where you can't even see them. You hear the water rushing in there, and they just come out for a few seconds and feed and go right back in there. So if I was down in that area and I wanted to catch the sidewinder crabs, there'd be two things I'd want to remember. One is that I would look for this, if I can, the smaller rocks that I can turn over, and undoubtedly you'll find them under those rocks. They will, of course, scurry across those big ones, but you'll find them under the small ones. They're easier to turn over. The other thing is that we are not allowed under Mexican law to take any crustaceans or crabs or clams or anything in Mexico. So you do have to be somewhat careful about what you take as bait there.
All right, good question. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, how about you jump right back into them this time? Talk to Doug, calling us from Montebello this morning. Doug, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Yeah, I got one comment. Yeah, you better have a fishing license on it, because that's the only time I've ever been asked for my license for surf fishing.
That's very true.
Yeah,
good call.
There.
And second question here, what's the lightest line I could get away with fishing for perch or corbina?
I would stick with 4 pound. I really wouldn't go below 4. Unless you had some 3 that broke at 10. but normally I'll go with 4 pound test. I love to use Pink Andy. That's one of my favorite lines.
Oh,
I think a lot of people will admit it now, that pink line, whether you're long range fishing, calico bass fishing at Catalina, or surf fishing, there's something about that pink line
about
that
pink.
Really, really works
yeah.
well. Or sometimes I'll use a red line, a Stren Red, or a similar line to that, because I want to have the visibility of being able to see my lines. Very important to be able to see where your line is in the surf when you're surf fishing. It's not like being in a pier or a boat where you're dropping straight down and the reef's underneath you. When you're casting out to something, you want to know where your line is. And when the drift begins to carry your line, you want to know where it ends up so that you're not looking out to sea and your line is actually and sinkers on the beach next to you.
Oh,
so,
good tip.
That right. red and pink line's the way to go.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. Norman in San Diego, you're up next on Let's Talk Hook'em. Norman, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. I had a question, but in the interest of time, I just want to make a comment about how we all enjoy being out on the beach real early in the morning. And I do this a lot. I go fly fishing out there. But you know, one thing I do wear when I'm out there is a PFD. And because if you fall in, you get smacked over by a wave, and there's no lifeguard or anybody to hear you out there if you are out there all alone. So even though it might look dorky or you might look kind of silly, it's worth it.
It's a good tip, and they have those, you know, those ones that are basically look like suspenders you can wear. Very good tip, Norman.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
great.
I would kind of avoid those because the, you know, if you're in, you get wet a lot, and if you're in salt water, that salt water could corrode that pin.
Okay.
And so I really stick with the old school, the bulkier ones, even though it looks funny. But some, you know, they're actually pretty functional. They have pockets on them. They're useful for, you know, carrying tackle and
all
right. books and all that. So that's just my comment.
That's a great
tip.
Norman, thank you.
Appreciate the call this morning.
All right, how about we're going to talk now to Brian. Brian's calling from Westminster. Hey, Brian, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Brian.
Bill, I had a question. I think you might have just answered, but I wanted to know if line color made a difference when you're surf fishing.
It really has for me. I don't know if I can speak to exactly the fact of whether fish bite pink better than any other color. But what I do know is that it certainly looks a lot like the churned up surf. And when I use a clear line or a green line, they're much more difficult for me to see, particularly green line or a darker line, because it fades into the sunset or the sunrise. And a clear line, I can't see at all. So I will normally use a red or a pink line, and I love a line like an Andy type of line. I know Berkeley makes an excellent line because it has a considerable amount of stretch to it, which is really important in the surf when you're bringing in bigger fish to the surf, because you get a lot of surge back and forth, and if you don't have some stretch in your line, a little spring in your rod, it's going to pull the hook every time.
Especially fishing a smaller hook like you would be in the surf.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, good tips. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy's got himself a copy of Surf Fishing book that Bill wrote, and as well as that great AFCO clothing package. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way right here on XX 1090.
If you are ready to experience a real Alaska fishing adventure, check out Whaler's Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. The calm waters around Whaler's Cove are 100 miles from any large towns, so you will enjoy a wilderness adventure without any crowds. Whaler's Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there is no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Whaler's Cove also offers fantastic freshwater fishing in wilderness streams for wild salmon and trout. The Whaler's Cove experience will fulfill your wildest Alaska dreams on the calm water of the Inside Passage or on a spectacular stream. It's your choice every day at the Whaler's Cove Lodge. After fishing, you will dine on fabulous meals created daily by the Whaler's Cove chefs and relax in your comfortable room or cabin. Learn more about this exciting Alaska destination on their website at whalerscovelodge.com or call 800-423-3123. Whaler's Cove Lodge, a real Alaskan fishing adventure.
Now's the time to break out that fishing gear and get into some great fishing in Mexico, Panama, and other tropical destinations. You could be basking in tropical sunny days catching marlin, tuna, rooster fish, and the elusive wahoo. Cass Tours, a family-owned company with almost 50 years of experience, can put you in the right place at the best time. Just one call and the Cass Tours staff can handle airline, hotel, and fishing reservations for a hassle-free vacation. Call the experts at Cass Tours at 800-593-6510 and book that fishing vacation you deserve. See them on the web at casttours.com.
In the past, AFCO has been known for its traditional fishing shorts. We now will also be known for our new line of next-generation board shorts. Features include four-way stretch micro poly, pliers pockets, a stain-resistant finish, quick dry, UV protection, plus an AFCO exclusive, a bamboo charcoal inside laminate that is both moisture-wicking and antimicrobial. Available in a variety of prints and colors, these technically advanced board shorts continue AFCO's long tradition of providing the world's finest fishing shorts. Check them out today at Better Tackle Shops.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on Double X 1090. You heard Greg Sudsbury talk about that great AFCO clothing. Well, the guy that's winning the full AFCO clothing package as well is Bill Varning's great book. It's going to Craig in Vista. Craig, congratulations. You're going to love that AFCO, and the book is awesome.
Yeah, indeed. And Bill Varney, like I said, great guest. We'll do it again, I hope, if you'll come back.
I'd love to come back.
Yeah, and in the meantime, got to get this book. You want to surf the fish the surf like I do, and now you got me all turned on.
I know, right?
Surf, yeah. How do we get it, once again?
There's a couple ways to get it. One is you go directly to my website, fishthesurf.com, F-I-S-H. T-H-E-S-U-R-F.com. You can go to any one of 78 tackle shops in Southern California, or you can go online and you can find it on Kindle.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then I'll have a couple seminars coming up here just in the near future. I've got one coming up on Thursday at Big Fish Tackle.
This Thursday. Okay.
Big Fish Tackle in Seal Beach, Beach and Pacific Coast Highway. Great place to get surfish bait. They have a very big selection there.
Ah.
And then on January 12th, Saturday, January 12th, we have our grub fishing clinic, a winter surf fishing clinic specifically about surf fishing in the winter at Crystal Cove State Beach. If you go to my website and you sign up for the free newsletter on the front page there, we'll let you know when the registration begins. That should be around the 1st or the 2nd of January.
Yeah, and you just sign up for your email blasts, which is easy. I'm on the email list, and just sign up, go to your website, fishthesurf.com.
Exactly.
Yeah, just
exactly.
Fish, singular. Fishthesurf.com. Bill Varney, thanks.
Thank you. Great job. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate that very much. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget, next Saturday, the Christmas Spectacular with lots of great stuff. Captain Mark Wish will be in the studio with us. And then next Sunday, from Shimano, an annual visit from Robbie Gant, the rod builder extraordinaire from Shimano. Hey, that's going to be a great weekend of shows. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right here on Double X 1090.
True, and now for everyone he catches, she catches too.